Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's important for me to, if I want to take the next step and take a jersey here, it's important to have a two-way game. And I know I can play offensively, but you know, I added a lot to my defensive play last year, and I think that's, yeah, good for me. Yeah.
Isaac Rosan on the trip. Will he play tonight? We could ask that of a lot of players right now, because there is uncertainty, Marty, based on the fact that we're in the East, the Sabres are in the West, they haven't had the morning skate yet, and practice was misleading at best yesterday, based on the fact that
conflicting reports. That's what we're getting from the West Coast.
I mean, Tage Thompson practiced, but he didn't practice on the first unit power play. And I think with the quote that we led the show with yesterday of Thompson, I was like, this doesn't sound as 100% confident as 2 days ago when the team was heading west. So I'm not sure what today could be different
because he wakes up today in Los Angeles, California, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm feeling really good. And we're, Wednesday night, and we have 3 games in 4, and I'm ready to go. And then maybe there's a difference Friday, Saturday, because you want to be careful. Maybe he doesn't play both games, but I think that would be the one that you would feel the best for, knowing that he's been off for a little bit now. Mm-hmm. And it makes a world of difference. If Tage Thompson is in the lineup, it makes a big difference to the Buffalo Sabres, to their roster construction, to the players that are going. Look, I could easily see, if Tage is not going, Jiří Kulik to play the center between Peterka and Tuck. Now, Alex Tuck was back at practice, so Tuck is still a question mark. But I could see Kulik play with Peterka and Tuck, because it seems to me like
nothing like your first NHL center job as assignment. The top line center
in LA against Kopitar. Let's go, right? Like, make it happen. But it seems to me like Lindy Ruff is trying to change the way the top six is looking, moving Jack Quinn to what was a McLeod and Zucker line in practice yesterday. Mm. So what does that mean for the other groups? Does that mean Roseanne and Kulik are given top 6 minutes and let's go, let's see what you've got right away? Or is Thompson healthy to play and play a lot of minutes? Like, it's just very, very, as you point out, mixed messages and conflicting reports and all of it. Like, I'm confused. I went to bed like, was it the Queen's Gambit when she's looking at the pieces on the ceiling and they're all moving? I went to bed looking at my ceiling, at my roster, and the pieces are moving as I'm falling asleep. That's really what it was.
Is that why you were late for Turkeys for Tickets?
No, I was technically early for Turkeys for Tickets.
Were you?
Because the event was supposed to be from 7 to 9. The email I got was, we need you to be there from 7:30 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. I knew the event from 7 to 9, so I pulled up at 6:45, did my interview on WBEN at 6:50.
Oh my gosh, we were competing? I was on GR.
You were on
GR
at the same time. That's why when I came in.
What a terrible way for people to wake up. It's like, I don't want to hear these people till noon. What are they doing to us?
And you go from BEN to GR, and it's you and I both competing on the same time, because I was listening to GR on the way in, and they said, coming up is Brian Duff. He's at Turkey's for Tickets at the West Seneca Tops location. We'll talk to him while I'm dialing WBEN on the other side. So, yeah, that's why I was not late, but not 30 minutes early.
Right. Well, I always feel like I could get there earlier, even though I'm quite punctual by nature. Yes. And I was there at about, 6:20, 6:30. And of course, the lineup was already long and ready to roll. And then we didn't have, a TV timeout, a commercial break until maybe, about 7:50. You know, like, we had 2 minutes where we didn't have a car. And then all of a sudden, the morning rush continued again. And it was 10, just
20, yeah.
It was really great. Obviously, thank you to everyone who helped, from Feed More Western New York, Buffalo City Mission, all the volunteers, and most importantly, you, the very good citizens of Western New York, who, you know, it's pretty obvious any media outlet that you turn on right now, somebody is doing something good in the community to help replenish, you know, the food bank, give hope and a hot meal to people in need at this time of year. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me that you can have so many different events similar to what we were a part of this morning happening. And I'm in awe of the constant turnout, the sheer volume of people. We had some come from across the border this morning, you know, yeah, just to get involved. So thank you again. It's heartwarming, to say the least.
Well, I wonder if people got to see us on Channel 4 this morning, because we did a couple of interviews. It's probably on their website right now. But as we were there in Hope, Winter was, interviewing and doing the reporting from there. She asked us the question, like, does it surprise you? And I think that you said something like, well, it's kind of like almost not surprising, but at the same time, every year I'm impressed and surprised by how people are happy to help others. Like, they, you know, it's so easy. Cars pull up, backseat, trunk, like we open the doors, we open the trunk, we go in. So many cars at other stops of mm-hmm. donations and yeah. other places they were going that day. Like, it wasn't just, let's bring a couple of turkeys and get, you know, Sabre's voucher. It was so many people at other things that they were going to do to help others, especially in this holiday season that's starting with Thanksgiving in a little over a week. So mm-hmm. to me, that was the surprise, is that, you know, not just the amount of turkeys, the amount of people we meet, but the amount of people that are on their way to make a difference in other areas in our community.
Yeah, and I would say this one, you know, and I often kind of freeze up in the moment when being interviewed, because, you know, I prefer to be on the other side of it. But the one thing that needs to be constantly stressed is that this type of generosity needs to continue all year long.
Mm-hmm.
The food shortage never ends. And that is a harsh, sad, terrible reality. And if going through this line and donating leaves you feeling good, spread that message, right? Yep. There are places in our community that need this support every single day. And yes, we are blessed that typically around most significant holidays, we put a bigger spotlight on it, but we can all do a better job of keeping it top of mind on a daily basis.
Yeah, and it's like doing Hockey Fights Cancer Month in November.
Sabretooth was
amazing today. Was fantastic in a turkey costume, very fitting, by the way, for Sabretooth. He's saving room for the turkey next week, so he's lost a few pounds, I think. But it's like Hockey Fights Cancer Month, right? But it's not just the month of November. It's all year long that we have these battles and the community battling and family members. And, you know, so that's why it's some teams do two Hockey Fights Cancer night in the year to be able to promote that. We do, you know, Hockey Fights Cancer. We do our Ball for Bucks. It's kind of mm-hmm. very similar. We keep bringing it back to, hey, this is all year long that things like that happen. Yes, there's certain times like Thanksgiving, the holidays, winter is hard and hard for a lot of people. Now, we've been lucky weather-wise, because I didn't have to drive this morning to the Tops location with my plow on, which I've done before, and you've seen it, Duffer. I've showed up with the plow before, so didn't have to do that. But, and you know, a lot of time people clean their garages and closets in the spring, and that's when a lot of the clothing gets donated, but they need that stuff all year long, right? And mm-hmm. that's why it's important to remind people of that.
So thank you again for donating today during Turkeys for Tickets. And obviously, we wish all of you the best this holiday season. The Sabres are starting 3-4, as you mentioned, in California. Tonight in L.A., Friday, Anaheim, Saturday in San Jose. Ducks had another win last night, their third in a row and fourth in the last five. San Jose kicks off or continues on the road, but they have a back-to-back starting tonight against Dallas, and they've been very good as well. The Kings and Sabres match up very evenly in a lot of ways. The Kings slightly ahead in the standings, but by a lot of measures, these two are very similar. And as we know, in the first meeting this year, Buffalo was the dominant team. That being said, Buffalo didn't score at 5-on-5. They couldn't get the power play going. They had one shorthanded goal from Alex Tuck. Yep. It didn't hold up because Andrei Kopitar took over the third period and scored a natural hat trick, and LA won 3-1. We expect Lukanen at one end. We expect Riddick at the other. And what else should we expect tonight?
Well, and this is where usually by the time we're on the air at noon, we get all the information from morning skate and get to see everything. The Sabres do not have their morning skate until 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, right? Mm-hmm. It's 11:30 California time, West Coast time. So we won't know until later if there is a lot of changes. But the two things that we know, Lukanen's going to go in. He's feeling good. I think this is another one of those step forward situation for Lukanen. The same thing we saw last year in the second half of the season. Once the Sabres said, okay, we have three goalies. We have to have Levi go to Rochester. And, you know, he's going to play a lot in the American League. It opened the door for Lukanen, and all of a sudden, he was the second-best goaltender in the league in the second half of the league last year when you look at a lot of metrics, including goal save above expectation. So this, to me, is one of those moments again. Lukanen has played well of late. He was a little banged up, didn't play the third period against Montreal last month, a week and a half ago. But now it's the door's open. It's your net. It's your team. Let's see where you can take it. You got the contract this summer, and James Reimer is there. But James Reimer is there as a support system, as a backup, and that's fine. I was in that situation, happy to do it, but it's very much Lukanen's net now, and let's really see where he can take it. And it'd be important for the Sabres to have that consistency in net and say, let's win 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6 now going into, you know, December and setting yourself up. That's where the Kings are. The Kings are 10-6-3, right? They have 4 points, so 4 games over NHL 500. The Sabres need to find their way to not just go to 500 and 1 game over 500, but get their way to 3, 4, 5 games over 500 before it's too late here. Because we're going to be like last year at the end of the year and say, it's the race to 89. It's the race to 91. It's the race to... No, the Sabres have to find a way to get to the race to 96 and 97 to assert themselves in that playoff spot. And I think Lukanen's a big part of that.
Right. And if you're wondering when I mentioned Riddick earlier, based on the fact that the Kemper game against Buffalo is probably still the best goaltending performance we've seen against the Sabres this year. Yeah. Or forgive me if I'm forgetting other ones, but Kemper is hurt at the moment. So it is Riddick's net with former Sabre Eric Portillo as the backup, but Riddick is 4-1-1 lifetime against the Sabres and will be in tonight. Darren Dreger's coming up. Dan Dunleavy also on the show today as we get you set for game one of this road trip, and an awful lot around the NHL, and frankly, not all of it great. Not just, you know, some of the injury situations we speak of, you know, personal leaves, JT Miller's situation in Vancouver is concerning, obviously. And, you know, we were not far removed from the first firing yesterday in the coaching ranks that we talked about late in the show. And it did, in fact, happen. And that was the Bruins moving off of Jim Montgomery, who is almost 80 games over 500.
In his career.
In his tenure with the Bruins. Like, it is... it's mind-blowing. Almost 80 games over, like, 120 wins, 41 loss. Like, holy cow.
Yeah, and the Bruins this year are, you know, a game under 500, just like the Sabres are. A lot of it is weird to me, and we can talk to Darren Dreger about it, but when you asked me on the show yesterday, this or that, which one kind of is the one coach to be maybe more on the hotter seat or whatever, I said Jim Montgomery, and Derek Lalonde in Detroit is not that far. But I also said that I think the seat is very hot for Don Sweeney. And Don Sweeney is the one that obviously is in charge of the roster. The roster has gone downhill after Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, they lost DeBrusk. They decide to bring Elias Lindholm and Zadorov in contracts. He traded Allmark, did not sign Swayman until it was very late, right at the season starting. Even so much so that Cam Neely came in and was like doing a press conference to really be, you know, setting the stage. And so I think this was Don Sweeney maybe saving himself for a little bit and firing Jim Montgomery.
Darren's coming up here. We want to remind you that Thanksgiving Eve is fast approaching. It's the most fun night on the calendar. That's my personal commentary. And we didn't have it last year, so I'm really glad it's back that we have a home game on Thanksgiving Eve. First 10,000 fans receive a gravy boat. Ah, gravy. Seriously.
It's like, a Zamboni gravy boat.
Yes. And all you need, first 10,000 receive it. Go to sabres.com/gravyboats. No, slash tickets. That's where you have to go. But always get gravy at the very least on the side. It enhances everything.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dregs, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I can match you with an okay.
we usually have a commercial break. Dregs comes on. We talk about things, whatever. Now it's right in the middle of the show. You're on the fly, man. So we are going to be looking at some on the fly analysis from the insider.
Okay, what are you looking for?
Well, we were just talking Jim Montgomery, and okay. I said yesterday on the show I thought Jim Montgomery was going to be maybe the first one to be fired.
Yeah,
but I did mention that Don Sweeney bears a ton of responsibilities for what's going on in Boston. Is Cam Neely now looking at Don Sweeney and saying, hey, you fired your coach. You may have bought yourself 3-4 months, but that may be it.
Yeah, I think he has to be. I think organizationally, they've got to be looking at it that way. And I don't think that Don Sweeney is looking to distance himself, you know, from the disappointment of the Boston Bruins to this point. I mean, you know, when he went out shopping with the cap space that they had in the offseason, you know, he had to think, okay, I'm bringing in Elias Lindholm. So that's going to help us vastly up the middle of the ice. And Lindholm is a nice center in the National Hockey League, but he's not fancy, deceptive, creative. He's a workhorse. He's a 2 or a 3 on a good team. And evidently Boston isn't that. Then you look at defensively, their big splash was Nikita Zadorov. And I remember following Zadorov, you know, as a potential UFA target for a lot of teams, the Maple Leafs included. And the concern was, hey, there's a lot to like about this guy. His size, he's got some bite to him. You know, there's some elements that you like, but is he a second pairing guy or is he a third pairing guy? And he wanted to be paid and was paid as a second pairing guy. And I don't think that they're getting fair value there. So yeah, for sure. Eventually it falls at the feet of the general manager. I mean, he's the architect of a lot of the decisions made here. The easiest thing in the world to do is what they did. And I'm not making light of a tough decision by Don Sweeney and Cam Neely. Coaches are fired all the time. You guys know that in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I mean, it happens. And now the pressure kind of shifts over to Joe Sacco, who's an interim coach, but more so to the general manager's office, where, you know, he's got to realize that he's out of bullets. I mean, he just is. So let's see how the players respond to Joe Sacco. And maybe we're having a different conversation about the future of Don Sweeney in due time, whenever that is.
Vancouver is already without Brock Besser and Thatcher Demko. JT Miller has now joined that, taking an indefinite leave.
Crazy.
For personal reasons. How do you view how Vancouver navigates this? Obviously, we saw their press release yesterday with no further comment out of respect for JT. I thought the Canucks played really well last night against the Rangers. It was a really hard battle. They lost 4-3. That happens against good teams, but Vancouver just went 2-4 on their homestand, and that's tough, right? Like they've had some overachievers kind of helping them along here, but this is a lot to deal with.
Right. And there's so many pieces to this puzzle, and Rick Tocchet this year, at least, hasn't been able to put those pieces together. Right. So you look at the start of Elias Pettersson, and it was slow and he wasn't producing. Well, now all of a sudden he's got it going again, and he's proven to be that impact difference maker that we all expected he could and would be. You know, and then JT Miller has fallen off the map. And, you know, we don't dive too deep into the personal realities of any player or anyone. I don't. That's my philosophy on it. I mean, if the player chooses to disclose, if the club chooses to disclose, then that's fine. Open game. We can have that conversation. So here's what I know. JT is dealing with something physical. And has been for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So that was taking a toll on him from a game perspective. He knew he wasn't playing up to his capability. The team was struggling. And because of all of that, you know, there was a mental toll that was also being taken here on JT Miller. You know, at the end of the day, man, he's the head of the snake. He is the energy. He's the driver of the Vancouver Canucks. So I think they've handled this well. The team is very supportive. So JT Miller slips away for an undetermined length of time. Everybody, including JT Miller, is hoping that it's shorter. It's not going to be a long-term thing. If he comes back physically healthy, mentally recharged, then look out. The Vancouver Canucks are going to be that much better of a team. And then you look at, you know, what Dakota Joshua is going to provide. Thatcher Demko has to feel like a mega trade when he slips back into the crease. And, you know, he's not that far away. They want to get him the reps so that he can be a regular performer in Vancouver. So I still think, despite the adversity, this is a really good Western Conference team.
Yeah, and Rick Tocchet said something to the media yesterday. He said, listen, no, I don't want any speculation. It's nothing in the bed sheets. And it was kind of like very forward. Like, don't go out saying, hey, what's going on? Is it personal? Is it he and his family, his wife, whatever? No. Like, that's nothing. And I thought that was good on the head coach to just set the record straight, because it was already starting to get some rumors. And it was like, people are crazy when they start putting things out there that are completely not factual. So that was good on him. Another injury that was a massive one was Ovechkin with the lower leg injury, week to week. But is this drags more like 3 to 4 weeks? Is it 7 to 8? Like, where are we looking? Because this will impact not only, you know, the Washington Capitals, but the chase for Gretzky's record. It was going to happen this year now, and now we don't know.
I know, and that's crazy talk when you think about it, because I think we all had come to terms with the fact that there was going to be a new record holder, and his name is Alex Ovechkin, at the start of the year. But would it take 2 years? And that seemed more plausible to me. I didn't think that he had 42 in him in one season, but then he starts the way he started. And you know, in conversation with Ray Ferraro on our podcast earlier this week, the one thing that he said he's noticed more between the benches at ice level is how good a shape that Ovi was into this point, and how you could see that burst of speed that we used to see all the time, either hunting down pucks or even on the back check. Like, when's the last time Alex Ovechkin was noted for being a ferocious back checker? But you could see it occasionally in the game that he was playing at this point. Now, we know the Capitals have listed him week to week. What I was told yesterday is that, yeah, there's further testing that needs to go on. So until they have all of the evidence, then they're not entirely sure of what the exact diagnosis is, and they can't be certain what the prognosis is in terms of, is it a 4 to 6 week injury, or is it longer than that? But I suspect that we're going to learn that in the next few days.
My favorite very recent Ovechkin moment was when he capped the hat trick the other night, and Shea Theodore was trying to do his best to disrupt that play, and Ovi just widened the shoulders, backed up the truck while moving forward simultaneously, and basically blew Theodore up. And it's like, seriously, get out of here. I'm getting the hat trick, and you're done.
You know what?
Like, not it's for, Shane Theodore, for crying out loud.
Exactly. Oh. Right. I mean, you're talking about, at times, a dominant defenseman in the National Hockey League. I mean, one of the better defensemen, for yeah. sure. But I would say this to the fans who are watching or listening here. You guys have seen Ovechkin up close. I don't think the average hockey fan, unless you've had the privilege of being at ice level for a warm-up or you've seen him face-to-face, realize how big and strong this yeah. human being is. He is just a monstrous creature. So whatever his workout habits were this offseason, man, he put in the work, and he has been rewarded for that. So, yeah, this is a blip in the map. It really has. And incredibly, I think I read somewhere yesterday or the day before, he's missed like something like 35 games total
yeah.
in 19 seasons. Mm-hmm. 35. So yeah. he's been incredibly durable to this
very, point. Very durable. Let me ask you about Austin Matthews quickly, because if we had an injury in Buffalo, and after being day-to-day for weeks, because now it's been like more than a week in, with Austin Matthews, he took, you know, that player went up to Germany with a member of the training staff of the team to go see a specialist, somebody that they've seen before, but still, I'd be a little concerned. Like, number one, who's this doctor in Germany that seems to be the special go-to person? And two, is there some worries about Austin Matthews and his health in Toronto?
Yeah, there would be some worry for sure, because this has lingered. And, you know, as Craig Berube recently disclosed, it does date all the way back to training camp. And initially, when Austin Matthews missed that Tuesday game, a couple of weeks ago now, yeah. you know, the sense was, no, it was recent. Well, it had been aggravated recently, but it is an issue that flared up during the preseason and in training camp. So the fact that he wasn't getting better through treatment and through rest in Toronto, I mean, that would be concerning for everyone associated with the Maple Leafs. This is interesting, though. So you can probably Google healing hands. So H-A-N-S. The doctor's first name is Hans, right, in Germany. This guy has treated some of the mega stars, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Connor McDavid. I mean, go down the list. And it sounds to me, the procedure that is applied here, I believe, is called Activogen, A-C-T-I-V-O-G-E-N. And you remember years ago, 15, maybe even 20 years ago, there was a doctor based out of Toronto who would do that platelet procedure, right?
Yep.
And there was a blood injection and all that. Well, it sounds like that's kind of what's going on here. What sort of blood they're using, I've read all kinds of stuff. Whether it's applied to Austin Matthews, don't really know. Again, it kind of drifts over into the JT Miller category of, all right, well, if the team or the player wants to disclose the specifics, that's up to them. But there's all sorts of things swirling around. At the end of the day, whether it's out there or not, as long as Matthews believes it's working and he gets healthy, that's all the Toronto Maple Leafs care about. That's all they care about.
This is interesting, because I'm reading an article from 2011 on ESPN, and they say he ranks as either the greatest healer since with Hippocrates. Is that how you say it? Duffer, help me out here. And like, that's the headline. I'm like, dude, like, this is from 2011. I was still playing in 2011, and this guy was known as the great healer. Like, he's something special.
Well, maybe he is. I just... I mean, what I know is that some of the great athletes of today's major sports go to see this dude. So Healing let's hunts. Hope it works out.
I don't know why Greek history or whatever.
I've already fast forwarded to the Four Nations tournament and the drug testing. If there is drug testing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Anyway.
You know why I'm fascinated by the Four Nations real quickly, just to interject here, is because it's been announced, of course, that the networks are going to have just a field on December 4th.
Oh,
and
yes.
All Four Nations are going to publicize the full rosters. The rosters have to be submitted by December 2nd. So guess what's going to happen between December 2nd and December 4th? When the league and everybody involved is trying to make this turn this into a major spectacle. Here's the unveiling of the Four Nations rosters. Well, guys on my side of the hockey reporting business are probably digging in between December 2nd and the 4th to find out what those rosters are.
So it's Vegas part two.
But could be. I don't know.
We'll find three, out.
Seattle was bad too. Seattle was the one.
Yeah. Kaprizov.
Yeah, Natchez, really good.
Yeah. MacKinnon, who wins the heart?
Ooh. Well, MacKinnon is it's not an easy bet, right? Because Colorado is all over the map. I mean, we're still not really sure what Colorado Avalanche, you know, what that team is right now, aside from MacKinnon and Rantanen and Cale Makar and the superstars that they have. I love the Marty Natchez story. I do. I just like the way that he is embraced what he was challenged to embrace by Rod Brind'Amour and the Hurricanes. And that's, hey, you want more ice, you know, your family wants you to be this, your family wants you to be that publicly. Okay, that's fine, but you have to earn it. And he's earned it. And he's delivering, so he's a terrific story. I'm critical of our coverage nationally in Canada of Kaprizov, because if he were in a Canadian uniform, we'd be talking about him no different than we do McDavid, Matthews, Leon Draisaitl, the superstars, Mitch Marner. Go down the list, right? Yeah. He just, and not that, you know, Minnesota is an outcast or, you know, somewhere out there. I mean, it's very much a hockey area. So it's not like he's being underserved, you know, by coverage in Minnesota. It's just he is so good. Was it Zuccarello who just came out recently and said he thinks he's the best in the league?
And that would make sense based on how the season started right before Zuccarello got hurt. And Minnesota was off to their best start at 12-3-3. So, I mean, this is a lot.
I have Kaprizov as the MVP so far.
He'd be up there, man.
And Hippocrates is the guy, is the father of medicine.
Okay.
So I had to Google it and press on play for the sound. Hippocrates.
It sounds hypocritical to me.
It does.
Yes, it does. So,
anyway. Thank you for injecting. Oh, sorry.
Nice.
Interjecting.
Yes.
What topic was
transfusing.
It?
Transfusing.
On the Four Nations. You interjected on the Four Nations, and who knows about the injections that are going
who
on
knows.
Elsewhere. Thanks, Dregs.
Thanks, guys.
Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN. Dan Dunleavy next on Sabres.